Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Bottom line is that I just have to call
him. At some point during the lunch period, it fell out of his pocket.
He didn't sit there and go, ha, 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 and type all sorts of stuff.
Perfection is very difficult to achieve.
I hate Jews.
Yeah, world-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean to say, you know...
I hate Jews.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying it's nice to be here with you. The world-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where truth is our bitch. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Because, you know, baby, you know how this thing is. Lock arms. Lock shoulders. Walk right over top of the heads of these very, 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 let's call them disabled people mentally. And I don't mean disabled mentally as in they don't know how to tie their shoes. I mean disabled mentally in they don't know how to vote. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to pretty much do anything other than get in our way. Two air traffic controllers were suspended for watching a DVD on the job. And this was not during their break. This was on the job. Who is going to straighten things out at the FAA? What is that about? A transgender prisoner is trying to force California to pay for a sex change operation plus another kid. Another kid gets served alcohol by accident. Unreal.
What's going on anyway?
I don't know. But we're going to find out. We're going to find out why are things getting sloppy around here? Why have things getting? Things have been sloppy around here for a long, long time. Ronald Reagan was in office for 8 years, and I thought maybe something took. No, it didn't. No, nothing took. It took 8 years of Bill Clinton to unravel everything. President Bush, he tried to tighten it back up again, but then we got hit with a terror attack. So he had one hand tied behind his back while he's trying to deal with all this stuff here at home, and he's trying to deal with all that stuff over there with Al-Qaeda. And he's got the one hand tied behind his back because we don't want to be too harsh. We don't want to be too hardcore. You got to work with everybody. You got to make sure that everyone's rights are protected. And by the time President Obama steps into the saddle, the whole thing has gone to hell in a handcart. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in West Palm Beach, WBZT, 1230 AM. What a great affiliate they are. They've been with us for years. Wonderful people there in South Florida, and three new affiliates in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or Eau Claire, excuse me, folks. When it comes to some things, I'm well-read and I'm very literate. When it comes to other things, man, you might as well just throw me in the dumb tank and throw away the key. Eau Claire, Wisconsin, WAYY, 790 AM, Poplar Bluff, Missouri, KL, I believe that's KLID, right? 1340 AM, and in Corbin, Kentucky, WKDP, 1330 AM, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Eau Claire. I did say it right. Thank you, bud.
Yeah, just checked. I called up the iPhone. And then, all right.
Thank you very much. I understand. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. So can you believe this? And in a moment, we're going to have on the line here Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. But I want to set this up as we are beginning our radio show here this evening. It happened again. A four-year-old girl served an alcoholic mudslide at Chili's. Now, what is going on? I mean, either we've got food servers, or we have bartenders, or we have restaurants, or we have... There's one other possibility that we can get into, but we've got some real sloppy, what do we call, just absolutely sloppy work happening. And Applebee's in Detroit, Michigan made headlines, as you know, after a 15-month-old boy was mistakenly served margarita mix. That was in his sippy cup. And Olive Garden in Lakeland, Florida, also made headlines recently for serving a two-year-old alcoholic sangria rather than orange juice. Now, a mother says her four-year-old daughter was served alcohol at a Chicago Chili's restaurant. And the child was served alcohol in a mudslide, which is an alcoholic drink. Tyree Davis said she was having dinner with her daughter at Chili's in the Morgan Park section of New York around 5:30 on Sunday night when her daughter's chocolate shake was accidentally swapped with a mudslide which contains vodka. Here is, I believe, Tyree Davis. It is speaking to CBS Television in Chicago explaining how she discovered her daughter's shake was actually a mudslide.
Brooklyn said, "I don't like it." And I said, "You don't like it? Why? Let me taste it." And when I tasted it, the alcohol, I knew immediately it was alcohol. That's when I saw the waitress approaching me with the chocolate shake. How can you make that mistake? And then the manager said they were sitting on the bar side by side, a chocolate shake and the mudslide.
Davis is understandably upset with the error that landed her child in an emergency room.
While we were at the hospital, they said that her chest was tight. They called respiratory. They came down and gave her breathing treatment. Since we've been home, she did vomit. I'm very upset because it can happen to anyone, and if you don't closely pay attention, you wouldn't notice because it looks so much like a chocolate shake. I don't want it to ever happen again to no one, to any child, because I know this just happened last week to someone, and I heard about it, and it's crazy that it just happened to us.
All right,
yesterday.
We're
going to
bring on Ted from Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills here this evening to talk about this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on back.
Thank you very much, Bill. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills sponsoring this very important segment of the Phil Hendry Show. I'd like all parents to please pay particular attention to this segment.
Here at Ted's,
they are very concerned with this.
We wanna put our meat in your mouth.
Ted, you are concerned with this. You're a restaurant owner, and I guess I'd have to ask you, have you ever had this happen at your restaurant?
Knock wood, Phil. We've never had this happen, but we have some policies in place, I think, that can keep this from happening. And one of them is we look out for the well-being of our customers. We do this in the most genteel, if you will, or the most polite way. We do make suggestions for desserts. We make suggestions for what we think might be a good idea, especially for a child to have for dessert. But I don't believe we've ever had this mistake.
You don't know for sure.
I don't believe we've had this mistake. No, I would say absolutely for sure. I don't know in 100% of the cases, but I would be shocked to think that even one time we had a food server that would make this mistake. Because as I say, we are very, very careful in how we do this.
All right. Well, now this child was a 4-year-old, and the mother ordered a chocolate milkshake for this baby.
Exactly.
And it came back a mudslide. Now, they said that the two were side by side on a bar. How does a mudslide and a milkshake, how are those things served side by side? One came from the bar, and the other comes from the kitchen, right?
Well, sometimes a food server is going to stop off at the bar, and they're going to pick up some items. And then they will continue on with a food order, and it could very well be that that server saw this mudslide and mistook it and thought, well, there's the milkshake that I've got for table 7, let's say. But really, this is not the server's fault or the restaurant's fault. I mean, these food servers get going very, very quickly. What we really have to do is look at the problem much deeper, and in conjunction with some of the other restaurateurs in the West Coast and nationally, we've looked at the problem from a nutritional standpoint, and what we have seen is shocking. What we have seen is going to, I think, frighten any parent. And really, if I could, Phil, we could get to the heart of this.
Well, go ahead.
The problem that we have more than anything else is these children are drinking alcoholic beverages as the result of their parents acting, I think, in the most irresponsible way, and that is...
Of their parents?
Yes. Of their parents, and that is ordering them a dessert drink or a drink of some kind that their child has no business drinking, given the physical health of a lot of our kids, and given the physical state of kids, with regard to weight.
All right. Well, no, I don't want to talk about that. I'm sorry to say,
but this is at the very heart of the problem.
Well. It's maybe at the heart of the problem. I am concerned mostly for the actions of the restaurant and why it is the restaurant served something that was not...
But I think you're missing the point, Phil. All right?
I'm missing the point. I'm talking about a drink that was served that was not ordered.
No, you're absolutely missing the point. First of all, what was ordered was a milkshake. Now, that is going to... obviously, any food server that has any... conscience is going to see that order and is going to feel pretty bad about it, bad about having to fill an order like that. I've been in the restaurant business, over 30 years, and I can tell you that when you get an order for a milkshake in today's environment for a child, you feel it's a tough one to fill because we've got children today that are overweight. We've got children today that are unhealthy. We've got children today that their teeth are bad. They have high body fat content. They have the inability to go out and run and play like most kids used to because they don't have any wind. Their cardiovascular is down. So when you look at that, and you're a food server, and somebody just said to you,
Well, hold on for a minute, Ted. I just want to ask you this here, okay?
But if someone says to you, I'd like a milkshake for my kid.
Well, hold on for a minute. You know, I'm not in the restaurant business.
Well, that's exactly right.
Okay, but tell me again, if I'm a food server and I get an order, get me a milkshake for my kid, you're saying that a food server is going to feel guilty about that?
I think a food server is going to take note of what a horrific order that is. I think any food server is going to take note of we're told as public people that work with the public that we should always be aware of what's happening around us. And certainly as a food server, you're going to see whether a child is being treated properly by their parents. I'm going to take a look and see whether someone is smacking a child at a table. But then when you see this order for a milkshake for a child, when children are so overweight. And
so what's the bottom line on this?
The bottom line is that the ordering of a milkshake is going to confuse the server and is going to eventually come back the wrong order because that is...
Why would the server be confused? Okay?
Well, first of all, the server is going to be confused because...
Look, the parent didn't order a horrific mudslide shake for their child. The mistake would have happened at Chili's anyway. I don't know. What are we talking
about? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If the parent orders this mudslide shake... If the parent orders this mudslide shake, then the parent is ordering for that child an unhealthy drink that is going to go to the child's... I'm going to say it's going to go right to the kid's ass. Since we're on late at night here, and I know that we're in an adult hour, I mean, you're ordering something that's going to go right to the kid's ass and is going to go right to the kid's... it's going to fatten that child up. And here is a problem with these parents ordering these fattening drinks, and if they hadn't ordered this drink for their child, the mistake was going to... The mistake's not going to be happening.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hi, this is Ted from Beverly Hills, Ted's of Beverly Hills Restaurant. Rest assured, if you come into our restaurant, we are never going to mistakenly serve your child alcohol, because if we think your kid is not healthy enough to eat, you know...
If you think that the kid is not healthy enough to have a milkshake, you won't serve it?
No, we will not. No, we will not. I'm not going to be responsible for that kid, someone's kid, packing fat on. And
is that your job?
It is my job. Look what happens. You go ahead, you take the milkshake order, it gets mixed up with a mudslide, and the next thing you know, the kid's drinking a mudslide. And had the parent not made that order, had they not ordered that milkshake drink, then there never would have been a problem.
And what about the margarita mix? And what about the...
Same thing with margarita mix. You're ordering a four-year-old child a fruit drink. You're getting some kid...
No, the sangria was an order for orange juice. What about that?
The sangria was an order for what?
Orange juice.
The sangria was an order for that's not orange juice, friend.
No, I know it isn't. It's sangria.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think they ordered orange juice. They ordered some fruit punch garbage. No. You're not going to hang that on the restaurateurs of America saying that because this kid was served booze that it's our fault if these parents aren't ordering up milkshakes and banana splits and everything else for a four-year-old kid. We're not going to be making that mistake. And
Ted, you're arguing persuasively on behalf of the restaurant not being...
These people are are turning themselves into victims so they can get an easy lawsuit.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over here to Chris in Topeka. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Restaurant manager, one of the in
yes,
question
sir.
Here, and it's simply the server's fault. They should know the difference between the two beverages. They probably weren't going to the same table, and it was simply their error.
No, it wasn't their error because the drinks were ordered by a parent that doesn't seem to care about the fact that we've got fat kids.
What has that got to do with the fact that they ordered a milkshake?
They ordered the wrong kind of drink for their kid.
Well, then why so would that be on the menu? If that's something that
because it's for adults. It's for adults.
What, wait. Milkshakes? Milkshakes are for
milkshakes
adults only?
The milkshakes are not for fat kids, are they? You can order anything you want. You don't can order anything you want for your kid. No, what I'm saying to you, sir, is you can order anything you want for your kid. We'll serve your kid a milkshake. But don't be surprised if they get a mudslide instead. It happens.
This gentleman, you said you're a restaurant manager, Chris?
That's correct.
Well, you two got, you, Ted.
Look, I own the restaurant. I'm not managing it, with all due respect. Okay? And I can say this. I have managers, and I'm sure Chris is a very good manager. When they order a milkshake, and they've got a kid sitting there at the age of four that's tipping a scale at close to 80 pounds. And
you don't know how fat this kid was.
I don't, but I do read the newspaper, and I'm certainly aware of the problems we're having nationally with children and their weight. And if they're ordering up a fattening drink.
It still doesn't excuse the fact that a mistake was made by the server or bartender through the company, and that, you know, it needs to be corrected.
It needed to be corrected.
All right.
What do you mean it needed to be? Because the kid already drank it. How do you correct that?
Well, we made steps to make sure that doesn't happen in our restaurant, just as tons of others have.
I'm going to ask. I'll ask him, Chris. What did you guys do? What did you guys do? Do you manage? By the way, do you manage a national chain or do you manage a more of a local restaurant?
No, I'm a kitchen manager of a national chain.
Okay. What is okay? And what are the steps you guys took to make sure that doesn't happen?
There's no steps you can take.
You know, the way we have it set up, we have our shakes that come out of the bar area, and we have a separate area that they come out compared to the alcoholic beverages.
Okay. So that's what I was asking you, Ted.
This is the whole thing that I'm saying. If you've got servers that are so confused, okay, that they don't know what's a drink and what is a milkshake, that's the fault of the customer. And any human being would know the difference between a mudslide and a milkshake. First of all, they don't come in the same glass. They don't come in the same glass. They're not the same color. And
exactly.
So when you have to take those steps, they're putting it on you. And it's the fault of the parent for taking a fat 4-year-old into a restaurant and let's get him even fatter. You swear to God that they're fattening him up for that, I forget the name of that, I read it to my son when he was a kid, Hansel and Gretel? That they want to fatten the kid up for a witch or something.
The thing that gets me is you're worried about the milkshake. You're not worried about the other things that the kids are ordering off the menu. I mean, have you ever read the facts on half your menu?
Well, sir, I can tell you that once they eat their meal, now comes dessert, an unnecessary meal, an unnecessary part of that meal. And what do we have? Well, here we go again. Here comes the parent now that the kid's been fed, and let's pack in something even more unhealthy. Let's get him a milkshake. Well, the server's confused. I'm confused. We have no idea what we're supposed to do in a moment like that. And
I don't understand. You don't. If you get an order for a milkshake, then why not fill the order?
We did, or do. Some places do. And guess what? They wind up serving the kid booze.
You're confused about a milkshake?
Well, what do you think happened? What do you think we're talking about?
This was actually a story. This did happen. It was at... I forget the name of the restaurant. It was a Chili's in Chicago.
That's
right.
I ain't making this up. I'm not making this up, pal.
No,
listen, Chris, thank you very much for...
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. I gotta move on, though, brother. Thanks for joining us. What the hell is... Thank you very much. Wow. We got ourselves some crazy stuff going on the phones tonight. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here as we talk to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. on the story here about a mudslide served to a four-year-old when the kid had ordered, or the mother had ordered for the child, a milkshake. So now we have episode number three of a child receiving an alcohol-laced drink, even though the child's parent ordered that child a regular children's drink. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue talking about the alcoholic drinks that are being served to young people at restaurants around the country.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
But I am alarmed as much as you are about the incidence of alcoholic drinks being served to children. But remember, if your child is overweight, if your child is unhealthy, as we've heard the president say about many of America's kids, why are you ordering that kid a milkshake?
Well, what does the president have to do with it?
President Obama has said very clearly, as has the First Lady, we have a country. We're in trouble, Bill. We are in very big trouble. We've got a country full of kids that are overweight. We've got a country full of kids that are eating foods that are unhealthy. We have a country full of parents that don't seem to care and are allowing these children every indulgence that you can imagine when it comes to nutrition. Now they come into my restaurant or into that any restaurant, into Applebee's, into this Chili's there in Chicago. They bring in with them a four-year-old child, a four-year-old child that is approaching almost 100 pounds.
Now, we do not have any information like that.
Although, you know, it stands to reason.
No, it does not stand to reason. It does not stand. We have no information whatsoever that that child, that four-year-old baby that this woman was talking about, and the mother is Tyree Davis, her four-year-old daughter is...
They're going to withhold the child's name for anonymity.
Okay, I mean, four-year-old baby. All right, but no, I understand that.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. Whoa, you're the one who's speaking on behalf of children. Now I have to tell you that...
No, that's fine. I just, you know, withholding the child's name for anonymity, a four-year-old child.
It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. They're withholding that child's name for anonymity. That woman brought a child into that restaurant and ordered it a milkshake, and the kid is pushing 100 pounds? Boy, I'll tell you. I think that takes some stones.
You don't know that. That's not in the news story.
I'm telling you it stands to reason, given what Michelle Obama's told us.
Michelle Obama is the first lady of the country and has an opinion about that. It's got nothing to do with anything, I think, factual. Now, look, Ted, you know, individuals that are ordering up these alcoholic drinks, it's in this country of ours where people already have enough to worry about. We don't need restaurants or airlines or any other private entity screwing things up for us, okay? We can make a mess of the job ourselves if that's what we want to do. And if the lady ordered a milkshake for her kid, that's what she should expect. Do you agree with that?
I do not agree with that, no.
Why?
Because a milkshake and a mudslide look very similar.
Don't you think it's the duty of the server or the manager to know the difference?
I think that in a situation where you're serving a milkshake, you're supposed to walk to a table with a milkshake on a tray and a smile on your face, and you're giving it to a four-year-old that you know could very well die of cardiac arrest before its 40th birthday.
That doesn't answer my question.
Yes, it does. I think it causes great concern. And I think you're going to be a little nervous. I think you're going to be apprehensive, and you're going to make the mistake of putting an alcoholic drink on there.
Which is just as bad for the kid.
I don't know. The jury's out on that. The jury's out on alcohol and how it pertains to, you know, cholesterol and those things. But
all right, 877-876-PHIL, the jury's out. We're not even talking about anything that's remotely realistic. We're talking about four-year-old kids. Here is Tony in San Antonio, Texas. Tony, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I was just wondering if the gentleman thinks that it's the parents' fault for ordering a drink that closely resembles an alcoholic drink. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, because the parent is ordering a milkshake for an overweight kid.
Is it because of the fat content of the drink, or is it because of how it closely resembles an alcoholic drink?
No, it's because the drink is fattening.
Okay,
they should never have ordered the drink in the first place.
But the fact that an alcoholic...
in a very uncomfortable position. A very uncomfortable position.
Okay.
Okay, but the fact that an alcoholic drink was brought to the customer, to the child, that is not the fault of the parent. You're saying that the fault of the parent is ordering a fatty drink.
That was the fault of the parent. Yes, it was.
Bringing the mudslide.
Yes.
How is it the fault?
It's the fault of the parent because by ordering that milkshake, ordering a drink they had no business ordering for a fat kid, it caused it put into motion the events that eventually led to the mudslide coming to the table.
So by the same logic, if I go to one of your restaurants and I order a chicken salad sandwich and I get shrimp salad instead and I'm allergic to shellfish and I have an allergic reaction, it's my own fault because I ordered something that closely resembles a shrimp salad sandwich, so it was easy for the server to get confused and my anaphylactic shock is my own fault.
We don't have shrimp salad sandwiches.
Well, it's just an example.
I don't know what you mean. One thing closely
resembles another, and therefore the server can't be held responsible for their own actions?
But not in my restaurant. We don't serve that.
Well, if you did serve it.
But we don't.
All right. Let's say another restaurant that this gentleman goes into, or I go into, a shrimp salad and a chicken salad.
You guys are over 21?
Yes.
Well, then it doesn't make any difference. But the recipient of this mudslide was under the age of 18, and therefore the parent is the one to be held responsible for putting that child's life in danger by ordering it a milkshake, something that's going to kill it anyway. When you take a look at the fat content of that child, the fat mass, have you ever seen the body mass? They have a fat, there's fat mass. You know that?
Yeah, I know that.
If I'm allergic
and
to
then
shellfish,
the kid, Rebecca,
if
then,
I'm allergic
I'm
to shellfish.
I'm talking about a child that could be harmed seriously, not you and your allergy.
No, the man's making a point.
But I can be harmed seriously. I could also be killed.
But you're an adult. You're making your decisions for yourself. Who's protecting that child? No one.
Right,
that's
but
who.
I'm deciding to order
and
a
mother
chicken
is going
salad
in there
sandwich.
And ordering
it's not my
a fattening
fault
milkshake
that
that's going to turn that kid into the size of a Macy's Day dirigible. And I've got to worry about you? You're an adult. Good luck.
Good luck.
I'm not asking you to worry about me. I'm asking you to worry about the server who's going to bring me the wrong thing.
I do worry about the server. I worry about a server that has to be exposed to parents that are feeding their kids milkshakes, when in point of fact, the kids are too fat. We know this from what the president said.
You're missing the point completely, Ted.
I got to get on to another phone call, sir.
Here is, I believe it's Mark in Morro Bay. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
The gentleman I was answering the man's question.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm a server in an Italian restaurant for the last 15 years.
Yes, and
this is just ridiculous what Ted's saying. There's no way I would ever serve a kid an alcoholic drink.
Well, it happened already.
What was that?
It happened already.
It's happened in three restaurants.
Well, I mean, it's never happened in our restaurant. Who cares?
We're not talking about your restaurant. We don't even know where your restaurant is, and we don't care where your restaurant is. We're talking about something that's happened at three national chains across the country.
Right.
You don't even know why you called this radio show? Why'd you call?
Ted, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Why'd you call
me? Because of what? I called because of this ridiculous statement Ted's making about fat kids.
You weren't even aware of the fact that they were serving booze to kids. Now you've got an opinion about what I'm saying?
Well, what I think
you didn't
is
even know what the story was.
If some little
you didn't even know what the story was.
Oh, will you let the guy finish?
Yes, I do. If some little fat
no,
kid
you didn't.
Wants
you were asking me, you said we would never serve booze in our restaurant. And then I told you that three restaurants did, and now you're on to what I said. So
what I'm saying...
What
I'm saying.
Now, what are you saying?
Will you let this guy finish what he's talking about?
if some little fat kid wants to order some chocolate ice cream, he's going to get some chocolate ice cream.
He didn't order it. His mother ordered it, you idiot. Why don't you get some people that are listening to the...
Why don't you shut up, okay?
I could care less if the kid's overweight.
Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Great screen job on that call. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, and with me, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, talking about another alcoholic drink served to a kid. This was a mudslide. You know, your whole point here is that the restaurants are not to blame at all. It's the fault of the parents. You know.
Bill, you're always saying that we've turned into a society of victims. You're always saying that we don't take responsibility. Isn't that what you're always saying?
I'm saying that a lot of people don't take responsibility, but the point is that we have the other, like the government or business or...
No. What you say is we never take responsibility.
No, I don't. I say that we'd like to take responsibility, but we have other people, like the government or somebody else, butting in and saying, hey, you don't know how to do it. We'll do it better for you.
Well, then I don't understand your point of view.
My point of view is this. If you want to talk about taking responsibility, this isn't the government. This is a business that served this kid a chocolate mudslide alcoholic beverage.
Right.
And you're saying the fault is with the mother for ordering it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And let me be as clear as I possibly can, because I don't think that... You know, what I'm talking about here, Phil, is not your standard talk show fare. And I think a lot of people call in, and they think they're going to get some liberal versus conservative point of view here. I'm just a businessman. I don't care who's president as long as he fosters a positive atmosphere for business. I don't care who my senator is as long as they foster a positive atmosphere for business. I'll take it from there. So I think I'm a classic conservative in every way. And what I'm saying is, in my business, as a conservative, we take responsibility for what we do. And
all right, you take...
Hold on. Whoa, hold on. I'm not done yet. In my business, we take responsibility for what we do. And when someone orders a chocolate shake for a four-year-old kid that is, by all rights, is probably... Well, at least approaching 80 pounds, if not 100 pounds, given the statistics that the government has given us.
You haven't even seen this kid.
May I finish?
Yeah, you can finish, but you haven't even seen the kid.
I don't need to see the kid because... Oh, boy.
Because Michelle Obama told you the kids are 80 pounds?
This is a four-year-old kid in a fat country with fat kids, is what I'm saying. So when I see that kid come in, and I want to... Look, just I want the government to get out of my way so I can do business. That kid comes in, and what's the first thing that happens? They're not going to let me do business. The government is not going to let me do business. They're going to find a way to wreck my business. So here comes a mother and orders a drink for her fat kid, a chocolate shake. Now he's thrown my business into complete disarray, and I've got to figure out how do I serve, the chocolate drink to this kid, and the next thing you know, the kid has got a booze drink. Why? Because the government stuck its nose in...
How did the government stick its nose into that situation?
Because the government was telling me about fat. Fat kid here, fat kid there, fat kid everywhere. E-I-E-I-O. So I'm thinking fat kid instead of serving food. You want to know who did that? Obama. And every conservative businessman out there should understand that while you're trying to do business... And Obama is laying all these statistics on you about fat kids. The next thing you know, you've just laced a child's drink with 100-proof grain alcohol.
I don't see how the government did that to you.
Whoa. Excuse me. I thought you were a conservative.
I am, okay? But I'd like to, as you say, keep my eye on the ball. And I want to know who the real enemy is here and where the mirages are. And it doesn't sound to me like the government did anything to you other than... give you some information about overweight children. Here is Laura in Fresno, California. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Laura, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Well, I was just listening.
Hi.
I was driving home, and I just
yes, ma'am.
I pulled off the road because I thought Ted must be smoking something. It doesn't even make sense, and it was like the most silliest argument, blaming the parents. He's serving alcohol, which is not...
I beg your pardon?
That's not healthy. You're serving alcohol to adults. How is that healthy?
No.
You're so worried. You're so health conscious.
No, we're talking about children, ma'am. We're talking about children. And
it doesn't matter.
The children overweight,
you know,
fat kids. It does matter. It does matter because an adult can make a decision for himself, but a child cannot. And when you bring a defenseless fat kid in there...
Ted, now you've had an hour to make a fool out of yourself.
Right.
Give me 5 minutes, okay? Let me talk. First of all, worried about
a fool out of myself.
You know, we
let
got
the
a
lady talk.
That was smoking cigarettes. I mean, how healthy was that while she was out there saying, oh, you know, you can't drink this, you can't drink that for kids. And it's like, look at his lifestyle, look at yours. You're serving alcohol at a restaurant to adults. That's not healthy. If you're so health conscious, why are you serving that?
Because I'm health conscious when it comes to children. Adults can make their own decisions.
You know,
I'm a conservative. I'm a real conservative, not a phony conservative like you. You want to control what adults do. You do that, man. You go ahead and vote for one of the Kennedys.
Oh, God.
Ted, I would never go to your restaurant because I think you're too animate about this. You guys have made the same mistake. It's real obvious. You served alcohol to
I've never made that mistake. Well,
that's your
argument. It's pretty weak. It's a pretty weak argument. You can't stick to your own argument, which is that I don't serve healthy food. To adults, I serve food to them because they have the right to make their own choice. Not a fat little kid that's four that's had fat shoved into its face ever since its fat... Oh, boy.
Boy, you got fat on the brain, don't you?
No, the kid's got fat on the brain.
Hey, Ted, my turn.
You can't tell me that I'm trying to hurt people.
Ted,
what?
Ted, you can't assume that every child's 100 pounds. I went, some of my kids, there's a couple of them that were kind of underweight. The doctor said, go get them a milkshake. They need to get some weight on them. So you can't just assume, and it's not the parents' fault.
So there you go.
The server
should have a milkshake?
Listen, if you have a server...
You know,
listen,
ma'am,
instead of
a milkshake, why don't you give that kid some healthy food? Why is the child underweight anyway?
Maybe he did. Maybe he only gets a sip of the milkshake. Maybe he only gets a sip of the milkshake.
Maybe
now, that's
he needs something to eat.
Anybody.
Maybe he needs
Do you want
to
take
eat?
Away everybody's freedom? You don't want anybody to ever choose. You want to be in charge of everything.
No, I want people to be in charge of themselves and not blame me when their fat kid gets a milkshake shoved into his face. I didn't do that.
Okay, maybe
you want to put a mudslide.
Yeah, that's right. The mudslide was the fault of the parent because they ordered the milkshake.
No,
how is that possible?
Ted, you're making a fool out of yourself. No, if you've got servers that doesn't know the difference between the thing you're talking about, I didn't even know what that was until tonight.
It's called
mudslide.
Called
I don't even
no,
know.
No, what's
that
the other
is.
One? A mudslide?
A monk slide.
Mudslide, is that what it is?
A mudslide, I've never heard of that until tonight. But listen, if they don't
know
the difference, then maybe they shouldn't be serving.
Yeah,
maybe they shouldn't be serving.
All,
what are they?
Maybe they shouldn't be serving. But then again, you know, you're saying things like maybe a coal miner shouldn't be in a coal mine if there's a cave-in. They're professional people being put into a very difficult situation because the person that ordered that milkshake saying, my kid, see my kid here, one of the unhealthy kids of America? Give that kid a milkshake and let's really make it bad. Let's go ahead and pile on.
What is wrong with your servers if they can't tell the difference what they're serving and they certainly
they're shaken up by the irresponsibility. They're shaken up by the irresponsibility of these parents ordering fattening whipped cream ladled milkshakes for a child that is very obviously busting out of its shorts.
Ted, do you have kids?
What's that?
Probably not. You don't have any kids, do you?
That's for reasons of personal security, I'd rather not answer that question.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney.
Oh, what does that mean?
For reasons of personal security, I'd rather not answer that question.
He's got one son.
You violated my security.
Okay, one son.
He has one son.
If you've got kids, would you ever give him a milkshake, or are you going to just say, nope, can't have cookies, cake, nothing the rest of your life?
My kids are in good shape. My children are in good shape. Of course they can have a milkshake. They can have anything they want because they're in great shape, in good shape.
Well, wait a minute. What gives you the right to give them a milkshake?
Because they're in good shape.
Well, how do you know this kid wasn't in good shape? He might have been underweight.
I don't know, but I'm telling you right now that odds are very, very much in the favor of the kid being fat because he was in a Chili's. What do you think?
Oh, whoa, man.
He
what do you
Chili's
think?
He's
eating a Chili's every day?
So now the kid's eating a Chili's, so he's got to be fat, huh?
Well, come on. Stands to reason. It stands
Dad,
to reason if a mother
smoking?
Is... Ma'am, if a mother brings her child into Chili's to eat dinner, stands to reason the kid is a monstrosity. You know it and I know it.
Oh,
and
you
Denny's,
are a dreamer.
Right.
You're a
no,
dreamer.
No,
hey, but,
no,
no, wait,
you know full well what I'm
be,
saying.
Dad, my dad, your child must be overweight, Ted, because of Michelle Obama
you know,
said
can,
all these kids
no,
are 100 pounds. Sorry. Yours is too.
Sorry. No, my child's in good shape. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, Ted. It's an interesting thing. You haven't seen the kid that got fed the butt slide, but we haven't seen your kid.
Calling me a liar? I'm a sponsor. Am I a liar?
I didn't call you a liar.
Okay, remember that.
Oh, boy. Thank you very much for your call, Laura. Phil Hendry's show here. We'll be back next hour. We have Brassville and the Wave. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, well, sure. I'm just now I got a bad taste in my mouth. You pardon the expression.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Jim, with all due respect, I've just got to take this last question as an example of how it's very hard to have.
I don't think, I just wanted to say, if you really feel that way that you don't want to donate to Haiti.
Are you serious? That would be kind of funny.
This kind of agenda is forced upon the, say, the Marine Corps.
Hang in there, honey.
Evil white man.
F you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland of talk radio, as we take you through the issues and the news of the day and even how you feel about them here at 877-876-PHIL, where truth is our bitch. And this hour, Dr. Ron Tarner joins us for a look, a further look, an update, a pass-by, if you will, of the global climate change issue. There's been a lot going on, man, a lot of stories. It's a story that's near and dear to our heart because we've been very honest and open in saying, whichever way the wind blows, baby, I'm fine with that. Just give me the straight scoop, you know, tell me what's going on. Answer my questions. And I don't want anybody telling me that the science is settled. I don't want anybody telling me that, that's just, you let daddy figure all these things out. I don't want anybody telling me that, it's a dumb question. I don't need anybody telling me that either I get it or I go to prison. I don't want any of that stuff. No thinking human being wants that. I would like to see good, honest scientists and people of good faith debating. It doesn't have to be vociferous and angry. It can be respectful, but I want to hear the issues aired, and I want to hear the reasons for and against. And we haven't gotten that. We have not gotten that. Dr. Tarner will be with us in a moment, but first, the chairman of the leading climate change watchdog group was informed that claims about melting Himalayan glaciers were false before the Copenhagen summit. Before the Copenhagen summit, according to the Times of London.
Really?
Yes.
Times of London.
Watch it. Rajendra Pachauri was told that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Assessment that the glaciers would disappear by 2035 was wrong. He failed to act despite learning that the claim had been refuted by several leading glaciologists. The IPCC's report underpinned the proposals at Copenhagen for drastic cuts in global emissions. This IPCC report, folks, was presented and, as this article just indicated, was a linchpin the adopting of a great many suggestions and recommendations and so forth at this climate change conference. And I got to tell you, the scientists are either really brilliant and they're way out ahead on this thing, or we're so stupid it's sad, and we're like a bunch of monkeys in a cage, while the scientists and Al Gore, they are all guys with those big heads like they come from another planet. Do you see that Outer Limits with me?
Yeah, when a guy went into the future and his head got big.
Right, that's Al Gore. Al Gore went into the future and his head got big, and you and I are still swinging from our tails.
Right.
Man, that's hard, man. That's hardcore. You still see that?
I do. That's what he thinks. He thinks he's got the big head because he went into the future a million years, and you, me, and Bud, we're swinging from our tails from a tree doing a bunch of tricks on 100 yards of grapevine.
Man.
That's right. Anyway, the Dr. Pachauri, who played a leading role at the summit, corrected the error last week. After coming under media pressure, he told the Times on the 22nd of January that he had only known about the error for a few days. He said, I became aware of this when it was reported to the media. Bull crap. Before that, it was really not made known. Nobody brought it to my attention. Bull crap. Now he says he knew about it before the Copenhagen thing. All right. We're going to get on Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory here on the Phil Hendry Show tonight. 877-876 is our number, and we're going to talk to Dr. Tarner about this because it's a... I feel so... I'm not angry. I'm angry. I'll tell you what, if it winds up costing us money, I'm going to be so pissed off I won't know what to do. Because I have never seen any issue in the history of my life ram down people's throat like this one. And Dr. Tarner, forgive me, but that's how I feel.
Well, Phil, you're entitled to your opinion. You are wrong. You are very wrong. Let me tell you one other thing, the reason why you're wrong.
Tell me, why am I wrong?
Let me tell you one other thing, the reason why you're wrong, and I don't want to get into an argument with you, Phil. I'm a scientist. I've spent my life in the world of science. But let me tell you one other thing. There are good men and women, very good men and women that are losing their jobs, they're losing their positions at universities, they are losing, in some instances, they are losing a significant amount of money because of this anti-global climate change scare that has been promulgated and has been promoted by the media and by revisionist scientists working for the large energy interests.
Oh, come on, Ron. I mean, we've heard that large energy interest argument over and over. I mean, you guys, who are you working for, okay?
I'm working for the Mountain Meadow Observatory, which is an adjunct of the Colorado University System. I'm not working for a multi-million-dollar oil company.
Let's talk to the substance and the specifics of this article, Dr. Tarner. This man, this doctor, said that he knew before Copenhagen the glacier claims were false.
I will be happy to get to that in a moment. I just want to one thing. You have not addressed what I just said, that there are a great many good scientists who are being run out of the business, who are being mocked almost as if they're in the stockade. Oh, and by the way, my wife just said to me that you're not giving out the full phone number. She's listening on the in the kitchen.
Who is that?
My wife just came and said you're not giving out the full phone number.
Oh, all right. Oh, I'm sorry. 1-800-449.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I got it. 877-876-PHIL. Okay?
Oh, my God. God. And you want to...
Don't worry about that. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, and you want to debate me on global climate change, and you can't even remember your own phone number. Let me ask you this. What's your Social Security number?
None of your business, okay?
That's a good answer. If you'd given it to me, I would have asked the man at your studio to... I don't know how you guys say it. Take a dump or...
To dump it.
I don't know how you say it. Forgive me, but that was... You know, Carol's the one to remind me.
Well, thank your wife, Carol. I'm sorry, folks. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy, Doc, okay? It's been a long night, and I got the number wrong.
Where do you get this 1-800?
Our old number used to be. Our new number, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get back here to climate change. You have said that this has been promulgated by a media and by willing media people like me to discredit good scientists.
Absolutely, Phil. I don't want to attribute this entirely to you, but I'm going to tell you something. You've had me on your program many times, and you have endeavored to make me look, I think, less than professional. Now,
I've endeavored only to get the truth from you.
Now, excuse me. There are good men and good women in the field of global climate change that are losing jobs and positions. People, this is a McCarthy era witch hunt that is going to see a great many scientists, I fear, before this is all done, a great many scientists in a very precarious situation. And, Phil, we make our living publishing, and we make our living showing our data and showing our writings and showing our literature to fellow scientists so that they can read and glean from what we have done, our research, and enjoy what we've written. I have won awards. I know other men that have won awards.
I want to ask you before you get into this. You've won awards. You've been published. I know that. But the things that you're writing, all right, are they completely substantiated in terms of the science?
That is not the question. And again, you want to divert. The question is, Phil, is what have I lost when I wrote the analysis of a domestic deferral cycle and its relationship to carbon emissions? That was the paper that had won me the Herald Award. And I wrote that paper.
Now, what is that paper on?
That was to show the relationship between carbon emission and what happens to domesticated animals in the wild. We found that animal behavior is changed by the carbon emission, the carbon footprint, and that domestic dogs that had been turned out or otherwise had escaped their domestic environment and had become feral or wild returned to their original home, the original domestic home, now as a wild animal, and attempted to kill the inhabitants of that house. Now, this was important work, and I won the Herald Award for this. This was published in the Pan Pacific Scientific Journal. It was published in International Science. And now the global warming, and this was a important work on global climate change.
All right, I'm going to ask you again. As I asked you before, is the science there? What this paper you wrote on domestic animals becoming feral and killing people?
Coming back to, you know, I wish you'd listen to me, Phil.
I'm listening.
Coming back after becoming feral because of the carbon emissions and attacking and killing those who were in the original home.
All right, this was all about carbon emissions.
Yes.
And now we find that we have questions. Where is the proof of this, Doctor?
I'm getting to... It's not about proof, and it's never been about... It's about the hard work...
Well, no, it is about proof. Where's the proof that what you're writing and that other scientists are writing has something to do with global climate change?
It is not about the proof. It's about the hard work that we did writing these articles. Do you understand the writing that we've done and the research that we've done and the effort that goes into publishing an article that will win an award? And, you know, my daughter said one day, she said, "Daddy, you put a lot of big words." And I said to her, "You know something, out of the mouths of babes," because that's what we do. We write articles with a lot of big words. And hopefully those big words will get through to somebody. And I'm upset that you would dismiss a work like the analysis of the domestic deferral cycle.
Well, the analysis of the domestic deferral cycle, sir, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Whether any of this other stuff is true or not, I don't know. Because, Dr. Tarner, all you've said is it isn't important whether it's true or not. It's important that we write these articles. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're on the line here with Dr. Ron Tarner. And he's what do you want, Dr. Tarner?
What do I want?
I got to go to a break, sir.
I'm telling you that we have published a lot of articles. You're asking me, are they true or not? It doesn't matter whether they're true or not. Do you know the work that goes into writing papers that are in scientific journals?
And it doesn't matter whether they're true or not.
Yes, it matters, but you keep leading on that. Let's talk about my daughter. The big word.
All right, we got to get to the break, bud. Don't ever bring a caller back up like that.
Sorry, that's been wanted.
877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner with us. He's written a lot of articles and he's got a lot of awards, but is the stuff true that he's writing? It doesn't matter, according to him. And we're talking about global climate change, something that they propose will cost a lot of money. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's Phil Henry Show.
You know what? I don't want to do your show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner joins us from Mountain Meadow in Colorado. Dr. Tarner, one of the leading advocates on behalf of the global climate change science. And I know that you don't like hearing that, Dr. Tarner, because you are one of many who says that the science is settled.
Well, so, you know, the science is settled, and I'm one of the most destructive aspects of these so-called emails coming out and the so-called this. I heard you jumping up and down about this glaciologist saying that the glaciers work at about 20. So you were sounding very excited, like a schoolgirl.
Wait! Don't be jumping up and down. I mean, I'm reading the article, okay, and it's very significant.
Well, you're jumping up and down. Forgive me, but like a schoolgirl, because to you the reputations of scientists. Is so much confetti on the floor to you.
No, that's very wrong, sir. To me, I don't want to wreck reputations.
Would I be allowed to finish? Because I wasn't brought on your program to be argued with.
Yes, you can be allowed to finish, but you can't make a statement like wrecked reputations to me are just so much confetti.
Well, you are, right now, you and other members of the media, people listening to me agree with me. They know what I'm saying. It's not about whether what we write is true. You're going after scientists and their writings and their reputation. You're ruining reputations. You're causing men to lose careers. You're causing men to lose their tenure. And
but what if what these men are writing about global warming is wrong?
That is not the point. God, it is not the point.
Yeah, that's not the point.
That's no. Global climate change is not the point. The point that we're making here is that there are men and women that are being literally ground up into hamburger meat by you and others working the crank of the media meat grinder. And, I've got a sinus. My son said to me, Dad, when you say meat grinder, it sounds like beet grinder. And I didn't get the joke until I heard the recording. But that's really what's also happening. To the beat of the meat grinder, you grind up reputations.
Even if what they're writing is wrong.
You're off point. I love it.
Off point. What these guys are writing is wrong. All right, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Taj on the Phil Hendry Show in Sherman Oaks, California. Go ahead, sir. You're on with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Are we taking a phone call?
Yes, we are. Taj, go ahead.
Yes. How you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Listen, doctor, Bill Henry keeps asking you, what's the scientific data to support your premise?
That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is are the careers of scientists that are being ruined by Mr. Henry and the global climate change critics who keep dragging this email controversy.
Listen, we cannot have scientists talking about the validity of your paper when we have policies, U.S. policy and worldwide policies being written and enacted based on
what policies being written. Yes, exactly, and it should be.
We need to know if it's true. That's responsible science.
What we're talking about are scientists who have hung themselves.
We need responsible.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Bill. Bill, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, guys.
We have had scientists, Phil. You just rolled right over it, didn't you?
I don't know of any scientists that have committed suicide.
Yeah.
We had one scientist put his head in a gas oven.
This is Bill.
It doesn't matter to you, does it?
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air, Bill.
Yeah, hey. How come, you people, it's like a religion to you people. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's frigid all the time. It's frigid all the time. Up there in Boston.
You frigid, you people.
Down south it's frigid.
Huh? Who are you people? I'm not a black.
All right.
Black.
So you're saying, Bill, that it's cold, huh?
Well, you say you people.
It's frigid all the time. The winters are frigid.
Oh, why did you buy a coat?
The summers are cold. And you people keep trying to shove this baloney down our throats so you can ruin the
Boston,
economy.
It wasn't cold in Boston. You need to either buy a jacket or get your blood pressure checked.
What are you talking about?
877-876-PHIL. So what we're talking about here more than anything else is you're just blowing everybody off, huh?
Well,
Well, Lee, you heard those two imbeciles I was just talking to. I mean, that guy says that...
That guy said it was cold all the time.
It isn't about cold. It's about global climate change. And these idiots think it's still about global warming. It's not about global warming. We've changed that.
You've changed it, huh? You've changed it just in time for it to be cold. That's the other thing. Things were warming up. Whoa, no, they're not warming up now. Now it's global climate change. The temperature's rising. The temperature's right. Now all of a sudden the temperature doesn't have to be rising necessarily. It's just going through some changes.
And what's your point?
My point is the following thing. When you accuse me and others of ruining the reputations of scientists, when you accuse me and others of ruining the reputations of people who are researching this, okay, and you can't come up with an answer when I ask you, okay, is your research true? Is your analysis true? Is your paper, the analysis of the domestic to feral cycle, this idea that, domesticated dogs go out, become wild, and then return and kill their owners?
Yeah, what about it?
And that's the result of the carbon footprint.
That is very much a possibility. Did you ever see, and I'll give you a... You're going to think this is stupid, but I'm going to try to go at this from the other way. Did you ever see a movie called Them? Did you see Them?
With the giant ants, yes.
Yes. And it was caused by the A-bomb. And I'm trying to get you to understand that, and I'm just going at it from a very basic way. If we have an environmental or scientific event that frightens us, isn't it possible that it will change animal life? Whereas the atom bomb made ants giant, can't global warming cause dogs to go and eat their owner? That's my theory.
Great stuff, man.
Which is like saying go to hell. I get it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Back here with Dr. Ron Tarner, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Tarner with us on global climate change. And Dr. Tarner, you're a advocate of global climate change. I told you, we gave you the story here of the false glacier claims that were kept from the delegates at Copenhagen, the scientists in the stolen email scandal who hid the climate data. This is a black eye for your efforts at alerting the world to something you think is very serious, and that's global climate change.
Phil, you know, I've spent a good part of your program trying to tell you that these are all men, and myself included, we have written extensive pieces for scientific journals that have taken an enormous amount of time and work. And when my son and daughter come in, and they're very young, and they say, Daddy, you have to look up a lot of big words for the articles that you write, I would say that that is a pretty fair statement. There's a lot of big words that go into it.
Well, hold on for a minute. What exactly is the effort you're expending, sir, if you're not proving that global climate change exists and we have scientists who are hiding climate data? We have the climate chief who was told of false glacier claims before Copenhagen and hid it.
I am telling you, there's a lot of big words that go into these articles. And there's a lot of
big words, so it's hard for you to write these articles because you got to look up big words.
No, not because I have to look up big words. I don't look up big words. I know what they mean. I'm telling you, I've written articles that have been hailed by my colleagues as very prescient and extremely relevant in the global climate change debate, and I've won 3 awards for my writings.
But you haven't said to me how relevant they are in terms of the proof that there's such a thing as climate change.
I'm going to say you have defecated on me and my colleagues' work. And
oh, don't using that kind of language, sir.
No, I'm saying exactly. You've squatted and let it drop, and we put years.
Boy, that's a real grown-up approach, isn't it?
What?
Squatted and let it drop.
Hey, you know, we have put years into studying this issue, and you just
you went ahead, and I'll say it like a child. You want to be a child? I'll be a child. You went number two on the top of hard work, and
oh boy, you.
Oh boy, what?
You went number two.
My daughter came in and said, "Daddy, that man."
Oh, your daughter came in and said that? First of all, you got your wife coming in and saying that I'm not giving out the phone number.
Damn good thing she did. Otherwise, you'd still be sitting there not giving out your phone. You'd be giving out 1-800-something, which is what you did. And I want to point that out to people. The number of your show, how do people call your show? What is it?
They're on a phone.
Hold on. Oh, that's so funny. Do you feel better? I just gave you a laugh track.
On our phone, you know something, Doctor? You have avoided answering the questions about global climate change throughout the evening. You have said that you write articles.
I do.
And there's a lot of big words in them, and that costs a lot of a lot of big words. Boy.
I said out of the mouth, don't you make fun of my daughter. Don't you dare make fun of my
I'm not making fun of your daughter, and you know full well.
She's the one who said Daddy uses big words.
Okay, that's what a child would say. You're telling me, though, that because you use and you work hard at looking up the big words you use in your articles, it doesn't make any difference whether the global climate change argument that you make is true or not.
Does it make you feel better to go on the air and just go ahead and go number two on hard work?
Would you grow up? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Do I come on here, Mr. Henry, and drop a pile, a steaming pile on your performance, and you can't give out a phone number? And when you couldn't give out the phone number, did you see me saying, I got go number two? No. What I said was...
I don't know where this is coming from.
Where it's coming from is, my wife came in and said, this guy can't even give a number out. Well, you finally did. You sounded like you'd suffered a head injury.
I gave the number out, and I'll give it out again, 877-876-PHIL.
All right, but the first time you did, it sounded as if you had a head injury, like it was a paralysis on some part of your head, I don't know. And I was stunned, and I was shocked. I was frightened, as a matter of fact. And you want me to debate global climate change, I'm talking to a man who sounds as if he was in a Jeep, the top of which got ripped off as you rolled into a ravine out somewhere out in Thousand Oaks, California.
What? What are you talking about?
You know full well what I'm talking about. What? My wife just said you gave out the number the wrong way.
Your wife is crazy. I gave it out 8. I'm going to tell you something.
It's 8? There it is. There's the number. It's 8, folks.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to tell you something. You can say all you want about how I'm going number 2 on your hard work.
Well, this isn't just me. It's other scientists that are working very hard, too, Mr. Henry. What?
You sound like you've been drinking, but...
Well, that's a great way to change the subject.
Well, you just did. I'm going to tell you this. I happen to know that, and you've said to me, that you guys are not really in the business of proving anything. You guys are in the business of pointing the finger at me and others like me and indicting us for even questioning you.
Do you know, let me ask you, Phil, do you know what the term heterogeneous means? Do you? Heterozygous. Heterozygous, that's the number. I mean, that's the term.
What?
Do you know what heterozygous means?
No, I do not.
All right. I'm the learned one who uses terms like that. I use that in a paper, and you have the nerve to go ahead and say, well, that was a great breakfast. I think I'll go in and do some business in the toilet on Dr. Tarter's work. So...
Wait. You said what?
I said, do you know what the word heterozygous means?
I do not, no.
I have used that in a paper.
So? So what?
Boy, you don't get it. My daughter just said I use big words.
Look, at Dr. Tarter, you using big words doesn't mean anything if it doesn't prove anything.
I've made a lot of money, and Al Gore and others have used our work, and I have been published, and I've won awards.
But just the stuff you write is horse dung, so it doesn't matter. If you use the word heterozygous, if you've been published in 15 trade journals, if you've won awards from here to the end of time, if the stuff that you are writing...
You are screwed with my livelihood here, my friend.
Hey, pal, you're screwing with your livelihood if you can't write anything about global climate change that is real.
You're taking food out of my own daughter's mouth, all right? She's already having a difficult time with the English language when she says, my dad writes big words. You think I want to hear her talking that way when she's 30? Don't take bread out of my daughter's mouth.
I'm not taking... You're the one taking bread out of your daughter's mouth. You're doing it. Every time you put a big word like heterozygous in an article, and at the end of the article, nobody can figure out what you're talking about or whether you're proving anything.
Oh, really? Because I get paid plenty for those.
Oh, I'll bet you do. I'll bet you there's guys in your business that pay you plenty for using words like heterozygous. And
you know what, flat earther? Let me tell you something. You're stealing my daughter's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You have taken her a Happy Meal, Mr. Flat Earther.
What's the Flat Earther? Is that it? Oh, okay, because I don't buy that. I'm a Flat Earther.
That's right. And you've taken the Big Burglar Meal from my daughter's lips. Good night, and a very pleasant soda.
You know, I'll just say this. You can indict somebody for all manner of things, and if they're explosive enough and colorful enough, you've actually gotten people's minds off of the actual topic. See, so we're talking about whether global climate change is real. He's called me a flat earther. He said I did number two on his hard work, that I'm stealing the burglar meal out of his daughter's mouth. And every other kind of insult, and that I don't know what heterozygous means, but he does, and he uses it in an article, and so therefore he makes a lot of money.
Well, you want me to try to call him back?
No, did he hang up on me?
Yeah.
No, you don't call him back. Not at all. And it's just another bit, just as far as I'm concerned, it's another chink of armor that's, and that I'm squatting on his hard work. I'll tell you, these guys, you come up with some good, hard facts about stuff, Doctor, and you refute some of the stuff about the glacier evidence and the stolen email evidence. I would love to hear you address that, and then we'll get back on the topic of global climate change. But telling me that I'm stealing the Happy Meal from your daughter's lips. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are you calling back?
I don't care.
Hello.
Phil Hendry.
What?
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
We ain't done a Dr. Green Thumb in a long time, so the time is right for a Dr. Green Thumb here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Pot smokers busted on YouTube. Sarper County Lieutenant Steve Grabowski tells 1110 KFAB Omaha they found more than 90 videos on YouTube showing David Johnson and his 17 and 19 year old sons smoking dope, the stupid jerk. Investigators also seized 50 bongs and pipes from Johnson's house during the January 12th search. Johnson has been charged with misdemeanor child abuse and possession of drug paraphernalia and marijuana. Johnson's eldest son, Travis, was cited for marijuana possession. The 17-year-old is now in foster care. Holy God, look at man. You don't let your kids smoke dope, you stupid freaking redneck. The internet has been a tool for law enforcement officials in recent years because there are people out there who are honestly that dumb, they video themselves committing crimes, felonies in many cases, then they put it on the internet and they think no one's going to care. God. The Associated Press, Riverside. Dateline. Sentencing is set for April the 12th for a Southern California man who was pulled over driving a big rig containing 14 tons of marijuana. Federal court records show 51-year-old Angel Guion Rea of Ontario in San Bernardino County pleading guilty this week to transporting the marijuana with the intent to
smoke it.
No, not to smoke it, to distribute it. You're going to do with that? I'm going to smoke all of it. All right, you're free to go. Raja, or Raya, as he's known to his friends that are stoned, was driving a big rig on Interstate 15 south of Temecula in August when he was pulled over for making an unsafe lane change. That, according to the Press Enterprise of San Berdu. Court records say a drug-sniffing dog alerted deputies to the presence of drugs. The dog went right over here, guys. Deputies opened the trailer and found pallets of dope stacked to the ceiling. U.S. Attorney's Office spokesman says no one else has been charged in the case, but an investigation into the source of the weed is ongoing.
why they call me Dr. Green Thumb.
A former manager of a UPS store in Atlanta pled guilty on Friday to stealing a package containing marijuana, selling it, then lying to federal authorities about it. As part of a previous inquiry by law enforcement, Anna K. Wright of Atlanta agreed to tip off the U.S. Postal Inspectors to a certain mailbox in her store, if her store... You know what? This story's old. Wilmington, North Carolina. What?
What do you mean the story's old?
I read that story 6 months ago about the chick and the thing in Atlanta, and she tipped them off because she didn't want to get busted.
Oh.
Wilmington, North Carolina. The aroma of marijuana lingered in the parking lot, and moonshine measured 3/4 full in a quart jar on the tour bus, according to officials. But despite citations given on Thursday night to six of singer-songwriter Willie Nelson's band members... For allegedly illegally possessing the substances, the concert was scheduled to go on. That was until it was announced Nelson wasn't feeling up to it. Why do you suppose that was?
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
According to information from the North Carolina Alcohol Law Enforcement Division Agency out of Wilmington and a news release on Wilson's official website, it was pain in Wilson's hand, the one in which he had carpal tunnel surgery that caused the concert to be canceled, according to the news release.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Nelson was not on the tour bus when ALE agents found marijuana and non-tax-paid alcohol, which is moonshine, said Ted Carlton, special agent in charge of District 3 ALE out of Wilmington. In other news, but I need that marijuana for my church. Dateline Alaska, the appeals court that ruled against a couple accused of growing marijuana plants, which they say they needed as members of the United Global Mankind Divine Maintenance and Direction religion. Instead of smoking weed, they say the UGMDMDers doused their bodies with a mixture of marijuana juice and olive oil. The court, can you get stoned like it's,
Let's try it.
I'm not gonna, what do you mean, why don't I try it? How much dope does it take to douse yourself with an olive oil? And anyway, the court declared shenanigans, saying religious freedom is protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, but the Juneau Trial Court Judge, Superior Court Judge Larry Weeks, concluded the Linekers had made up their beliefs. At the time, he said, Michael Lineker's speech and manner under oath left the court with a firm conviction that as he was testifying, he was making it up as he went along. That's what we call bullcrap in that term paper, man. So that is our Dr. Green Thumb report for today here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And now it's time for our stories we couldn't get to this evening, and there are a few of them. In Brownsville, Texas, a food fight in Brownsville has led to a cafe owner facing an aggravated assault charge over a customer allegedly whacked on the head with a plate. Police said Maria Del Rio Cordero was accused of tossing a tray of food and tea at a customer who had complained he ordered a chicken dish but was served beef. KRGV Television in Brownsville, Texas, reported the pair argued before both allegedly threw food items at each other. Isn't that all growed up of them? A 61-year-old man slugged a store manager over seafood on Monday afternoon. A lot of food fights around the country. This in Perkins Township, Ohio. Perkins police arrested Ralph Barr, age 61, for assault and criminal damaging after he repeatedly punched Kroger store manager Monty Irwin in a dispute over the price of crab cakes. The store apparently made a mistake in the price of the crab cakes, and Irwin offered to sell the man the first pound at a discounted price, but the rest at the correct price. Well, Mr. Barr, the 61-year-old Ralph Barr, allegedly spit in the manager's face, headbutted him, and hit him 5 or 6 times in the face, breaking the man's glasses. That because he offered him a discount on his rotten, foul, gut-wrenching crab cakes. Italy is about to open its first prison designed to cater exclusively to transsexuals. That's fantastic. Guards will undertake special training on how to treat transgender prisoners when the prison block opens near Empoli in Tuscany in March. Campaigners welcomed the initiative, the first of its kind, because they said transsexual prisoners face discrimination in Italy's mainstream prisons and are rejected by both male and female inmates. Huh? Well, why don't you pass a law to make them not be rejected? What do you gotta... Anyway... Around 30 transgender detainees will be moved to the facility from a prison outside Florence where they are currently serving their sentences. Most were convicted for prostitution or drug-related offenses, and if any were convicted for, say, spree killing, mass murder, or serial murder, we sure as hell wouldn't tell you here. However, it's a very beautiful thing. Good for you, Italy. Thanks. Now, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a 40-year-old Pennsylvania man's in jail after threatening to rob his local Bank of America branch in revenge for an overdraft fee. Francis Coleman, an unemployed machinist from Bethlehem, PA, called his local TV station Wednesday night, and he told him he wanted a camera crew to film him robbing the bank. Tomorrow I'm going to get my satisfaction. I'm going to rob the place, Coleman said, according to WFMZ producer Dan Rinkus. Satisfaction's going to be had one way or the other. Coleman complained to Rinkus that Bank of America sold his information to what he called a credit assistance agency, which took money from his account, leading to overdraft fees. Rinkus said that in a matter of fact tone, Coleman gave the address of the branch he intended to rob at 11 a.m. the next morning and volunteered that it was near his house. Coleman said he expected Rinkus would relay the information to police. He said he was unemployed. He said he was down and out and at the real end of his rope. Another station employee called police. Officers arrived at the house where Coleman lived with his mother around 11 p.m. Coleman told her he knew what they wanted and that she should go into the back room and sit down. Then he answered the door. He said, "I know why you're here. It's because of what I said to Channel 69 News." Is this news from another planet or something, bud?
No, it's from, what do you mean?
What do you mean the guy is like he called him? He lives with his mother, Channel 69.
Get out of here. It's real, I swear to God.
I think you're picking up intergalactic news or something. I think that's like from Mars or something. In Buenos Aires, Argentina's president recommended pork as an alternative to Viagra, saying she spent a satisfying weekend with her husband after he ate barbecued pork. Better tell Steve Dooley, man.
Yeah, he can't if he has a pork sandwich and everything.
We know. Bobby's husband, Steve, he can't perform if he even smells pork being barbecued. So anyway, said the president, President Cristina Fernandez of Argentina, "I've just been told something I didn't know, that eating pork improves your sex life. I'd say it's a lot nicer to eat a bit of grilled pork than take Viagra." President Cristina Fernandez said this to the leaders of the pig farming industry. She said she recently ate pork and things went very well that weekend, so it could well be true. She ate the pork.
Yeah.
Well, what's that got to do with... Argentines are the world's biggest per capita consumers of beef, but the government has sought to promote pork, come hell or high water, even if the president has to open up her private bedroom life to everyone. "I'll sell your pork. Don't worry about it." Well, Madam President, don't worry about it. You just get the cameras, get everybody out there. When I get done, man, when I get this sucker rolling, you'll be holding on for mercy. Anyway, trying it doesn't cost anything, so let's give it a go, Fernandez said on televised speech as she pulled her underwear back on. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. The world-famous Phil Henry Show website is philhenryshow.com. For the largest archive of radio comedy anywhere, PC World calls it one of the funniest websites on the web. Till tonight, tomorrow morning, or later on, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.